In a world that's just buzzing with information, literally from the moment we open our eyes, how do you find clarity, protection, maybe just a true sense of direction for your day?
It's a real challenge, isn't it? Whether it's the commute, work, just the endless news feed.
Exactly. But what if an ancient text, like thousands of years old, held a powerful, maybe even surprising key to starting off right, to facing whatever comes your way?
That's a fascinating thought.
Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into just such a piece of wisdom, Song 5. And this isn't just some dusty historical document.
Not at all.
It's a vibrant, really relevant prayer that offers, I think, profound insights for your life right now in the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to peel back its layers, try and discover a blueprint for daily living that's, well, as fresh now as it was then.
And our mission, really, for this deep dive is to unpack its timeless truths. We want to understand not just what it says, but, you know, why it resonated so strongly thousands of years ago.
And maybe most importantly, how its powerful message can directly encourage your obedience and strengthen your faith in God today.
Translating ancient wisdom for now.
Exactly. It's about making it tangible encouragement for your daily walk.
Okay, let's unpack Psalm 5 itself then. What is it at its core, as King David presented it?
Well, at its heart, Psalm 5 is this really fervent morning prayer from King David. He starts right off, you know, pleading for God to hear his words, his cry.
So immediate engagement.
Right. He makes it crystal clear. This isn't just some casual thought. It's the first thing on his mind. He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up.
Wow.
It's deliberate. It's early. It's an act of seeking God first, asking for guidance, for justice, and importantly, protection from his enemies. He's basically setting his compass for the day.
God is true north. I like that. That really jumps out, doesn't it? This idea of starting the day with such intentionality.
It really does.
But what kind of God is David actually talking to here? What does the prayer tell us about God's character?
Well, what's fascinating is David's deep understanding of God's nature. It's absolutely central to the psalm. He stresses God's, well, his absolute holiness, his moral integrity.
Okay.
He declares that God doesn't take pleasure in wickedness. He says, neither shall evil dwell with thee. It's pretty uncompromising.
Uncompromising is a good word.
Yeah. The foolish, he says, shall not stand in thy sight, and God hatest all workers of iniquity, and this is strong, he will abhor the bloody and deceitful man.
That is strong.
It's not just God disliking bad actions. His very essence is completely incompatible with evil. It paints this picture of pure justice, a perfect moral standard.
Okay, that's a very clear picture of God's character, his absolute intolerance for evil.
Mm.
So if God is that holy, how does David, you know, a king, powerful but also flawed, how does he even approach him with his posture?
And that's the beautiful paradox, isn't it? Despite God's incredible holiness, David comes with deep humility, reverence, but also, crucially, an understanding of grace.
Ah, grace.
Yes. He acknowledges he comes into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. He's emphasizing his access isn't based on his own merit, his kingship, anything he's earned. It's purely God's abundant grace.
So not his credentials.
Not at all. And then he says, in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. And right after that, sensing this holy presence, he asks for guidance. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face.
Hmm.
So it's an approach built entirely on grace and his own need for God's direction in a pretty dangerous world.
David also describes his enemies very vividly in this psalm. What does he say about them? And what does he ask God to do about them? It gets quite intense.
Oh, he certainly doesn't hold it back. He says, there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue.
Wow, an open sepulcher. That's graphic.
It really is. It's a powerful image of their deceit, their destructive nature, how their words, their intentions are just corrupt. And then, yes, he calls on God to step in.
Right. Yeah.
Asking him to destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out, for they have rebelled against thee. He's not asking for personal revenge, really.
It sounds like it, though.
Well, it's strong language, but the focus is on divine justice against those actively rebelling against God himself, against his ways.
Okay, that's an important distinction. But the psalm doesn't end on that intense note, does it? There's a shift, a powerful blessing and promise at the end.
Absolutely. It shifts completely. The psalm culminates in this powerful affirmation for the righteous, a total contrast to the fate of the wicked.
Okay.
David declares, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee."
Joy and defense.
Exactly. And then the final promise, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." It closes with this incredible assurance, joy, protection, divine favor for those who trust and love God. Security, really, even when things are chaotic.
That's a powerful ending.
Yeah.
So we've walked through the text. Now, if we step back, what are the key pieces of, let's call it, ancient wisdom that Psalm 5 offers us, things that transcend the original context and speak to us today?
Yeah, and what's really fascinating is how these core ideas, when you sort of distill them, they offer so much more than just history lessons. The first, I'd call it the strategic pause.
The strategic pause. I like
that. It's more than just start your day with God. It's about intentionally designing your day before everything else rushes in. David had this rhythm, seeking God first. In our world where the phone buzzes the second we wake up, news, emails, demands, David's practice challenges us to create this sacred pause.
A pause before the noise.
Exactly. A conscious choice to orient your spirit, your intentions, before the digital avalanche hits. It sets the tone.
Yeah.
It's about reclaiming control over your inner landscape.
That feels incredibly relevant. Constantly reacting versus setting the tone. Okay. And the second insight about God's nature.
The second is really understanding God's inherent integrity. It's more than just saying God is holy. It means he is the ultimate standard of truth, of goodness.
He is the standard.
Right. He doesn't just have values. He is value. His nature just cannot coexist with deceit, with evil, with superficiality. So, you know, virtue signaling might work with people, but it means nothing before God. True character, authenticity, they're non-negotiable because they reflect him. You can't hide behind facades. He sees through it all.
That cuts deep, especially today. And thinking about David approaching God, what's the wisdom there for our approach?
The third insight, grace, not credentials. David the king approached in the multitude of thy mercy. This isn't just about him being humble. It's a universal truth. Our access to God is always by his grace, never by our status, our achievements, or perceived goodness. In this performance-driven world where we feel our worth is tied to our resume or likes, Psalm 5 reminds us, before God, our worth comes purely from his unearned favor. We don't earn our way in. We're invited because of his nature, not ours.
Yeah.
It's actually incredibly freeing.
It really is. It takes the pressure off. Now, the psalm also stresses words quite a bit, both good and bad. What's the takeaway there?
That's the fourth insight, the resonance of words. The psalm paints the wicked through their speech. No faithfulness, flattering tongues, open sepulcher. Words aren't just sounds.
They have power.
Exactly. They're potent forces. They reveal who we are inside, and they carry spiritual weight. They build up or tear down. This ancient wisdom reminds us that what we say shapes our reality, our relationships. In a world flooded with digital chatter, misinformation, empty talk, Psalm 5 calls us back to the impact, the moral quality of our words.
A real challenge for how we communicate now. And finally, what about God's stance towards those who seek him? That closing promise.
The fifth insight is about the shield of favor. It doesn't just promise protection. It says God will compass him as with a shield, with favor.
Compass him. Like surround him.
Exactly. It's not about us trying harder to protect ourselves. It's about resting in God's active, encompassing care. Even when things are chaotic, threatening, for those who trust and love him, God provides joy, protection, favor.
So less driving, more resting in his care.
Precisely. We don't have to be constantly on guard or clever. We can be confidently vulnerable because God himself is our defense. It flips anxiety into assurance.
Okay. These insights are powerful. Now, connecting this to the bigger picture, this ancient wisdom isn't just history. It's a blueprint for our lives right now. How can these insights from Psalm 5 apply directly today? Encourage obedience, strengthen faith.
Yeah, this really brings it home, doesn't it? How do we translate this into daily practice? First, building on that strategic pause, we can cultivate an intentional morning ritual.
Ritual.
Yeah. Before the phone, before email, before the to-do list, talk to God first, even just 5 minutes. Quiet reflection, a simple prayer, reading a verse, it can dramatically change the day's trajectory.
How does that connect to obedience and faith?
Well, it's an act of obedience by prioritizing God.
putting him first, and it strengthens faith because you start to experience his peace, his guidance right from the start. Instead of feeling like you're playing catch-up all day, imagine the difference that makes mentally.
Definitely sets a different tone than reacting to notifications first thing.
Exactly. Second, thinking about God's inherent integrity, we can focus on curating our moral environment.
Curating our environment.
Yeah. Psalm 5 reminds us God's nature is incompatible with deception, arrogance, harm. This isn't just about the people you physically hang out with. It's the influences you allow in your mind.
Like content consumption.
Right. Content, social media feeds, conversations you join. It's an act of obedience in stewarding your spiritual and mental space. And it strengthens faith by actively aligning yourself with God's character, helping you cultivate integrity, rather than being subtly pulled by things that are, you know, fleeting or false.
So it's much broader than just friendships. It's about all the input we allow.
Precisely. Which leads right into the third application, cultivating authentic speech, building on the resonance of words.
Right.
Psalm 5 challenges us to be truthful, grounded in our speech, not just big things, but everyday talk. In a time where, let's be honest, bending the truth or exaggeration can seem rewarded.
Especially online.
Especially online. Mm-hmm. Psalm 5 reminds us God sees through it, choosing faithfulness in speech, avoiding flattery or gossip. That's obedience to truthfulness. And it strengthens faith in a God who values integrity above all. It builds trust with others and with God.
That's a constant battle, isn't it? Resisting that temptation.
It really is. Yeah. Fourth, drawing from David's humility and his prayer for direction, we can implement daily GPS for life's choices.
GPS for life.
Kind of. Life is full of decisions, big and small. We feel pressure to have all the answers. But like David, we can humbly ask God, make thy way straight before my face. Wisdom isn't always knowing the whole map.
Okay.
Often, it's about being led step by step, trusting his direction, even when it's not fully clear. This encourages obedience through relying on God, not just our own smarts. And it strengthens faith by experiencing his active leading, even in small things.
Trusting the next step. And what about that closing promise, the shield of favor? How does that apply?
That leads to our fifth application, embracing confident vulnerability. That closing promise is huge. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. It's active defense.
Right, not passive.
Exactly. So even when life is hard, when challenges hit, God's care actively surrounds you. This lets us shift from fear, from always needing to protect ourselves, to this place of confident vulnerability, knowing we're surrounded by his favor.
Confident vulnerability is an interesting phrase.
It fosters obedience through radical trust, right?
Right.
And strengthens faith by constantly reminding us of God's active protection and care. It allows us to actually rest in his love, even when things are tough.
Makes sense.
So, you know, when you boil it down, Psalm 5 is this quiet but really profound reminder. How we start our day matters. God is both utterly just and wonderfully merciful. And we're safest not by being clever or guarded, but just by walking closely with God.
Yeah.
The call to action is simple, really, but transformative. Pray early, speak truth, walk humbly, trust deeply.
Wow. What an incredible journey into Psalm 5. We've really seen how David's prayer, thousands of years old, offers such profound wisdom, practical guidance for living a life of obedience, strength, and faith right now.
Mm-hmm.
It just reminds us that our daily walk, our words, that confident trust in God, it all truly matters.
It really does.
So for you listening, thinking about how you begin your day and the words you speak, what's one small intentional step you could take? Maybe to cultivate that strategic pause we talked about, or to embrace confident vulnerability as you start your day tomorrow.